Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, everybody. This is Sally O'Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. My guest today is Louise Hicks. She is the host of Aimed to Purpose Radio, which she co-hosts with her son. I found on Facebook, I saw a video she had made about the CDC whistleblower and about getting active. So immediately we were connected at the hip. I knew that we were to be great friends because I'm constantly trying to coerce people, cajole people into taking action because we have the most mammoth threat upon our children. They've got a schedule. The CDC has a schedule of over 70 vaccine doses for children through the age of 18, and half of them given through the first year of life, starting in pregnancy. So let me just say, you can always get an exemption for school. You never have to accept a vaccine unless it is for school. So always say no. And if you go to school, get an exemption if you can. Getting harder and harder and harder. Go to VacLib, VACLIB.org to find out what the deal is in your state and who can help you achieve this. But I am calling for a moratorium on vaccination now. I went to the National Vaccine Advisory Committee and did so in person with the help of Dr. Vera Scheibner, whose words were scientific. So it was very important that I could communicate with these doctors and scientists, a panel of about 50 of them, in their own jargon. And that's what I was able to do thanks to her, and then call for a national moratorium on vaccination. Things are dire. I recommend you look underneath the screen for this program. If you see it on Facebook, open the screen. Look under it. You'll see two links for Louise Hicks, who's the host of Aim to Purpose Radio, and you'll see two links from me. One was on the steps of City Hall on August 1st, calling people to activate in this campaign for a national moratorium on vaccination. We will be circulating banners within individual states. 20 people are participating, thank God, including Louise. And we will convene in D.C. at the end of October, which is International Vaccine Injury Awareness Month. So look at my blog to see the precise words I used, and I encourage people to use them and always credit Dr. Scheibner, not just because it's the right thing to do, but she is the consummate authority and has done more research than anyone on the planet or the entire group that I addressed probably combined. So I am proud to quote her when I read her literature. Okay, I'm going to pick up my honored guest, Louise Hicks, right away. Hello, honored guest Louise Hicks. How are you today?
I'm wonderful, Sally. How are you?
Well, I have just told the world that you host your own show called Aimed to Purpose with your son, and
yes,
that you're very outspoken and determined, which I adore. I would like to open this interview by asking you why we need a national moratorium on vaccination now.
Well, thank you for having me, and I would definitely like to express that. And there are more reasons, but I'll just give you three briefly. First of all, I believe vaccines are unsafe because of the various ingredients that are in the vaccines. And I've done some research, including the CDC website itself, and I've seen that it has formaldehyde, mercury, aluminum, and many other poisonous ingredients. So my issue is, why would we want to inject those types of ingredients into our children? Because they are unsafe. And I'll give you a prime example as to why I feel that way. I was watching, I think it was 60 Minutes or some show not too long ago, maybe a year. It's been a while ago, I guess. And they were talking about formaldehyde being in the wood that's shipped from China. And I'm saying we care more about our woods because they were going to ban the flooring, this type of wood, from the U.S. And our government was a major issue in this argument. And my issue is we appear to care more about our floors and our wood than we do our children. So that was one of my concerns. The other one, the other concern is being a black woman and seeing the movie documentary Vaxxed and finding out that little black male babies are impacted to a significant degree with getting this MMR at between, I believe it was 15 and 18 months or so, something to that effect. And it was creating apparently autism in these young black babies. And I felt an obligation and a duty to warn the black community and let them know what is going on so that we can do our own research. And the other one is I was really concerned about the government, our government, using our tax dollars to give immunity to these drug companies and pharmaceutical companies against any lawsuits when no one else gets that immunity. So I'm saying if the vaccines are so safe, my common sense would lead me to believe, why are they getting immunity? So I have some great concerns here about these vaccines, and that's why I'm an advocate as well as an activist in this movement. And
I'm so sorry, I don't know where that burst of coughing came from, but yes, I couldn't agree with you more. All of these points are so legitimate. And I was just saying when I gave a speech on the steps of City Hall the other day, I said I'm going to bring up new issues. This is my 26 hours worth of video telling you what's wrong with vaccines, and yet everything I'm about to tell you is additional. And when I left, I thought of all the things I still hadn't said. So there's so much wrong with this program that the fact that you can hit, you know, the nail on the head on three of them, but it's exhaustive. You could probably speak for another hour on the outrage of vaccines.
Absolutely. And the other issue I'd like to bring to the forefront that is that I live in California, and we just – well, actually, I believe it became effective, SB 277 became effective July 1st. And mm-hmm. It is really appalling to me that this bill passed and was signed, first of all, by Governor Brown, whom I've written to, never got a response. I've written to my senators, many of my congressional legislators in California, as well as Senator Feinstein. And I recently, it's interesting because I wrote some time ago, and I just got a response back from Senator Feinstein yesterday, in fact.
Really?
Yes, defending the reasons why we should have vaccines. Only defending in word, but nothing substantial, factual, to document or back up her saying that the vaccines should be given because it's for the safety of everyone else, not just the unvaccinated children, but the safety of everyone else. That's why children should be vaccinated. But the sad part about it is they are not allowing these children to go to school unless they are vaccinated, public schools and private schools. And I think there has been some misunderstanding of what SB 277 says. Because of the homeschooling, you are allowed to homeschool your children, but you are not allowed to let them go to school where you pay your tax dollar to educate other children. And I'm about fairness and equality. So why should the tax dollars from the non-vax children go to pay for education of the vax children? And if that be the case, if they don't want you to go to the schools, my thing is, why not pull those tax dollars out? Because I'm sure there's lots of tax dollars being spent by people that do not vaccinate their children through home ownership, sales taxes, and all other kind of taxes. We are taxed on communications taxes, you name it. We are taxed on practically everything, and much of those tax dollars are being wasted, I might add. So why aren't these children given the same privilege by pulling those tax dollars and building schools? If you don't want the children in your schools, give them an opportunity to go to a school and get an education with their tax dollars. And I don't have minor children anymore. My children are adults, and they were vaccinated back then because they are much older, and they came along when all of this poison was not known like it is now, and they were not giving children shots the way they are now, the numerous ones that they're giving now. They weren't given all of that then. So I question that as well.
Well, good for you. There are so many things I want to say in response to that, but let's start with Senator Feinstein. I did, in fact, get a response from my congressperson, and it was a boilerplate, and it's obviously not the same boilerplate that Feinstein used for you. It was a boilerplate statement about Andrew Wakefield, and I had sent her legislation to ban vaccines, you know, and I've been sending that to Congress since 2009. So all she had to talk about was Andrew Wakefield. I said, this was written before I even knew he existed. This is just the facts, ma'am. You know, read your facts.
Right.
So, but that was their big, you know, Del Bigtree has said that it's a one-trick pony. They use Wakefield to dismiss vaccination safety concerns across the board. And when I found my own congresswoman doing the same exact thing, I was just like, wow, you think that you have, and, you know, Feinstein is saying they're safe. That is a lie. So we have to just say we reject the lie and we reject the liars. How dare you not do your research? This affects all of your constituents. How dare your ignorance prevail?
Absolutely, and I will be responding to that letter. But I believe my letter, they also mentioned, I don't recall them mentioning Dr. Wakefield's name, but the Lancet study was mentioned, and they were saying, you know the story about how the person was found guilty and his license were taken and so forth. But
the, on the board of GlaxoSmithKline.
Absolutely.
You know, this is who's
absolutely. A total conflict of interest. But other than that, mine was basically a boilerplate letter. And the reason I may have gotten a little bit more detail is because maybe that office knows me because I do write letters. I've met with some of my legislators, my board of supervisors here in California. I know in some states they are called different names, but my board of supervisors that governs the county of Los Angeles where I live had committed to meet with me, not about the vaccines, but I was going to mention that in the meeting, but more about the mental health issue where there's so much drug abuse, because I do have a son and I have a personal interest in this aspect of the medical industry. But they know me because initially...
When I call my congressman or my state legislators or my local legislator, I say it's Sally and they say El Cordy.
Well, they probably will be saying that about me pretty soon, because the first letter I got back in response to, I had mentioned vaccines and the mental health issue, because those are both my concerns, and I got a boilerplate letter from Senator Feinstein as well, and I called her office and challenged them, and the gentleman that was on the phone could not hold a conversation because obviously he was uneducated on everything that I was speaking about. The next thing I knew, her legislative analyst was on the phone and telling me that the letter was sent to me by mistake, in which I know that was a lie as well, because it was addressed to me and it was relative to the mental health crisis and atrocities that are going on here in America as well. So I know that the letter was meant for me, and he tried to clean it up, but he couldn't and said, well, I'm going to send you another letter. They sent me another letter but never answered my questions about the why.
Well, do you know that they are allowed to lie to us? There was a bill passed at the federal level saying they are allowed to lie to us. Huh. So we can't even point a finger at the mainstream media if they're getting their information from the government, because the government has passed a law saying they can lie to us. I'm going to send you that.
And they do it all the time. That's what's so sad. But the other thing that I question us as the masses, because we allow them to get away with this. They really ignore their constituents. They cater to the elite, the corporate structure, and we allow it. And that is why they ignore us.
The thugs. I don't call them elite. I call them thugs.
Well, you're right. They are thugs. They're criminals, and they are thugs. And it amazes me how they have the audacity to call other people thugs when what they have been dishing out, and I'm talking about the career politicians, and being that this is an election year, it really amazes me how so many people are jumping on the bandwagon and they're deciding to vote for someone that has misled us all these years, and these people have been in office for decades. And we have seen no improvements in many of our communities, yet we keep voting for them. So I don't get it.
I'm thinking of taking a totally different tack. You know, I'm running for vaccine-free NYC, right, for mayor. I'm always running for something. I'm always trying to stop this crazy agenda. But I'm very serious about New York because I just want the city itself. Because we have SB 277, but nobody knows it. Why do we have SB 277? Everybody who appeals for a religious exemption is turned down, and when they go back and appeal that decision, they are met with the Inquisition, which is a panel of people, each of making six figures or more, who are assigned to tell you no matter what your religious conviction is, okay?
Right,
so
right.
SB 277 is being pulled off by the health department. Get to know an organization called NACHO, N-A-C-C-H-O. They basically are trying to take away the power of anything from the legislators regarding vaccination and go through this back door, which they have successfully done in New York with the flu shot. We overturned it, and when they appealed it, and the judges, there were a panel of six judges, might have been more, I don't know, they were really high up. I couldn't see all of them. You know, they were so high. And they told our attorney representing the families to be silent. He literally sat there in silence, fuming, while the guy from the health department was waxing poetic about why the health department should have power beyond the everyone, beyond everyone. And they're sitting there nodding and smiling at him. I'm like, whoa, this is so bad. You know, if I could fix one arm of our government, it would be the justice system, you know, because we can't right any of these wrongs because the justice system is as screwed up as the rest of them. And it's unavoidably unsafe from the Supreme Court. I just want to say that if I were to say something were avoidably unsafe, my conclusion would be ban it. No, their conclusion from saying it's unavoidably unsafe is that they're upholding the lack of liability for the people who produce it. So it's not a 1 + 1 = 2. It's 1 + 1 =? I mean, where are they coming up with that as the resolution is to uphold it because it's unsafe? Unfathomable.
Oh, yes. Well, we know what it's all about. It's actually all about the money and how these people survive and get the opportunity to live in their mansions, multiple mansions, I might add, their yachts, and all the corporate corruption that's going on. It's in government. It's in the corporate world. It's just all over America. We have so much corruption going on a daily basis. And for us to just keep putting criminals in office, I'm just amazed when they do nothing. They violate all of the law to the books. They don't adhere to any laws. And my question to all of them would be, why do you keep adding all these laws when you're doing nothing to enforce any laws? And some of these laws are not needed because they're already there in the Constitution that obviously they don't read, and then they pass laws that they don't even know what's in these laws because the legislators do not read these. For an example, the Obamacare. Why would it take thousands and thousands and thousands of pages to give people medical care? It's insane. And most of the legislators don't even know what's in that bill, and all of the added, what do you call them, perks that they get, that they put in there, and they don't even know what these laws say, many of our legislators. They're not even familiar with them because they don't read them, they don't make them. These laws are made up by attorneys. They're not made up by the legislators that we hire. They're made up by attorneys, and the legislators don't even know what these laws say for the most part, and
probably don't care.
there
was a bill introduced by either Dennis Kucinich or Ron Paul, who I wish to God had run together as independents for president. You know, that would have been a strong duo, and it would have brought people to the table from both parties who are sickened by the current system. But one of them created a bill requiring legislators to read the bill.
Well, it should. They really should.
Well, it's still on its face. It didn't go anywhere. Can you imagine
right.
the hubris of voting that down?
It's mind-boggling that we vote these people in and they do nothing for us. And I know Senator Boxer is retiring from California's federal Senate. She's retiring as our California federal senator. And I don't know who's going to...
Lou Hicks for Senate. Yay!
They would not want me in office because I could not go along with the corruption, the unrighteousness that's carried out with all of these crooked politicians. And it's so sad that we say we're going to vote for the lesser of two evils. Well, I'm not voting for any evil, and I've been an independent for decades, actually, and I just refuse to vote for anybody that I consider evil. I don't care. I don't want the lesser of two evil. I don't want any evil.
Run as an independent.
I at this point in time.
We need your voice in Senate, you know? That's all I can say. We need to get good people in office. And,
we do need that. The
machines are rigged. They're so rigged. So I don't even know that it would matter.
Well, you know what's happening to a lot of the people that are credible and have some type of integrity. A lot of them end up dead. So it just makes you wonder, just like many of the doctors who are holistic doctors or doctors who are against all of this corruption, many of them ended up dead. You don't hear anything about that on mainstream media. If you do, it's quickly and quietly, and they move on. And that's what's so sad about this whole situation. And I just wanted to read you quickly one of the paragraphs from this letter from Senator Feinstein from me. It says, measles and other vaccine-preventable diseases can also be devastating to unimmunized children, such as infants who are too young to be immunized and children who are medically unable to be vaccinated because of cancer treatment or a weakened immune system. Now, that is one of the most ridiculous statements I can ever imagine, because first of all, a newborn infant, why would you think that injecting poison into a newborn is going to save them? And if your vaccinations are so safe, why are you worried about anybody that's not vaccinated? It doesn't make sense.
Well, no, she just said that they're susceptible. You should write to them. The infants are susceptible because they're not vaccinated. No, they're vaccinated in the womb with the DCAP and the flu shot, and they have 37 doses. Half of the entire schedule is given through the first year alone. So you really have to correct her. And I sent her Nancy Banks' link, because she says, everybody says that a child cannot benefit from immunization other than mother's milk through the first year of life when they're
That's
giving them
That's what
a
I
half.
Was just going to mention, too, the mother's
but,
milk.
But Nancy Banks said for the first 3 years, okay?
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't want to...
The first 3 years.
Well, they don't want to accept any of that because they know that their finances may be cut off from the lobbyists that are out there lobbying for them, for these pharmaceuticals and the big drug companies. And then all of these studies that are done, who's backing these studies? The pharmaceuticals and drug industry. They're not going to cut off their nose, so to speak, to spite their face, because they are the ones backing them, and statistics can be skewed to say anything that you want them to say, just like the Dr. William Thompson said about the statistics within the CDC. Nobody wants to bring Dr. William Thompson on board to testify, and that's a disgrace. It's a disservice to the people because we have a right to know what he has to say, and he has already disclosed to, we've heard the conversation between he and Dr. Hooker, so why not bring him before the Senate and let him testify?
And so the Senate itself added insult to injury. When they called as a CDC, I heard that they were going to question the CDC. I was ecstatic. I'm like, now we're getting action, you know? And what did they have that festival of lies with Senator Warren questioning Margaret Shugart? And that really, if you haven't seen it, everybody go to YouTube and type in Senator Warren and Margaret Shugart, S-C-H-U-C-H-A-T. She's from the CDC. I believe she's the current director. I could be mistaken. But Warren fed her. It was like a pre-scripted thing where Warren said, vaccines don't cause autism, do they? No, vaccines don't cause autism. I mean, it was just a disgrace. And, you know, this is what we get. We're calling for the CDC whistleblower, and what we get is a panel of people playing footsie with the CDC.
And it's sad because there's too many children that are dying out here, or if they're not dying, they are injured for the rest of their lives, many of them. And it's as if they don't care about human beings at all. All they care about is the money. And that Dr. Orfit, from what I read about him, he is definitely in a conflict of interest position, because how can you sit on these different boards and things, and then you're pushing vaccinations and the vaccines from these pharmaceuticals, and you're part of them. Of course you're not going to cut off your face, your nose to spite your face, because you're part of it. And this is just evil, it's criminal, and these children and their parents are suffering. And then you set this non-transparent vaccine court up in 1986 when nobody really knows about it, even now to this date, and that's been, what, over two decades ago when it was set up, and just about three decades, I guess, now. And very few people know about it, first of all. And you're protecting these people when you claim the vaccines are safe? I mean, where's the common sense here? If something is safe, why are you protecting the producers from immunity? You don't protect car manufacturers from any immunity for the unsafety of the cars. You don't protect when all of these kids were getting strangled, I think, from blinds, or they're getting entangled in them. You didn't protect those companies. You didn't protect when I think it was a formula or something to do with formulas or something, some baby food or something. They didn't protect them. So why are you protecting these companies? Because they are your biggest contributors, and the mass media is not going to discuss it because they are their biggest contributors to for television. So it's up to us to do what we're doing and to put this moratorium out from each state so that we, the people, can start helping to govern ourselves, because it's our body. And I, for one, I will not be, if I had minor children, I would not be vaccinating my children if I had minor children. And I guess they'll throw us in jail. So what kind of democracy do we have when you are telling us to inject poison substances into our body? And the other thing, Sally, I've never seen any study where they have done on vaccinated versus unvaccinated children to see who's the sickest and who has the most diseases. Because from what I understand, I've seen some children who are vaccinated versus some children who are unvaccinated, and the vaccinated children are the sickest with various allergies and so forth and other problems, issues.
Let me answer that, and let me also address the NVIC. So don't let me forget to do that. But in terms of the mailman maybe coming, in which case he just doesn't stop barking. This is my nightmare. I wish I knew when the mailman was coming each day so I could avert this. But anyway, the reason, what were the two issues?
The two issues were, the one was the NVIC you were going to address, and the other issue was the one that I brought up about the vaccinated children versus the unvaccinated children. Any studies to determine who are the sickest children and what sicknesses are they coming down with?
Let's start with a quote from a pediatrician who was asked about the wellness of his patients. He said, "I have healthy patients and vaccinated patients."
Oh, wow.
Okay? Yeah. And but let us also say that every pediatrician has produced a vaccinated versus unvaccinated study. They're just not showing it to you. Every family who has I'm just saying, they just take their clients. How much money do they make from the vaccinated ones post-vaccination versus the unvaccinated ones, you know? So as I say, healthy or vaccinated. And then any family with a vaccine-injured child who understands that the death or injury is a result of the vaccine, you'll see all of their future children are unvaccinated. So these families have done a vaccinated versus unvaccinated study.
Mm-hmm.
And also in Germany, and this is part of my bill that anybody can look at, it's tinyurl.com/vaccinefree2015, which is yet another bill to Congress asking them to stop it. Item number three, important issues at the bottom. I bring up past the three big ones. I bring up important issues. This is one of them, and it addresses a German survey. Now, this was not intended to be a vaccinated versus unvaccinated study. What they had done is gone out to thousands of parents and asked them about their children's well-being, their health, you know, check off whatever chronic illnesses they have, et cetera. And a mathematician, when the survey results were in, ran the numbers and found that vaccinated children had 2 to 5 times the chronic illness of unvaccinated children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I gave this information to Bill Posey. I was in his office asking him to ban vaccines, and I said this is one of the articles within the legislation. And then the study, he proposed a bill with Carolyn Maloney, who had also been asking to ban vaccines, her since 2009, and they proposed a bill to do a vaccinated versus unvaccinated study, and nobody supported them. There were the lone people who signed on to that, so it never got to the floor. And all it's requesting is the simple knowledge or a U.S. survey to be done. And, of course, Posey questioned, what's her name, Colleen Boyle of the CDC, who is part of that CDC whistleblower study, but saying, where is your vaccinated versus unvaccinated study? And she had to admit they had never done one. Well, don't look for answers if you don't want them. And that's what's going down at the CDC. They don't
absolutely
want the answers, so they're not looking for them.
No, they're not looking for them. And the sad part about it, I believe I heard a nurse who had been informed and really started looking into it and doing her own research. I think I saw this either on YouTube or I saw it on Facebook. This nurse was saying that these doctors are not reporting the real vaccine issues. When children come in sick and they just were vaccinated, many doctors are not reporting that. they are writing other things. And if a child dies, they write other things, too. They don't write that the child was just vaccinated.
One in a thousand, he said. He's been working.
Yes.
He calls himself Gorilla RN. He's been working in 3 emergency rooms over the course of 6 years. He's a former police officer, which I think is completely relevant here. And
mm-hmm.
he is a lone person, even though he does publicly makes these reports. And he said we're being told that VAERS reports are between 1 and 10% accurate. He's saying it's 1 in 1,000. So if there
mm-hmm.
are 540,000 VAERS reports of illness due to vaccination and death, he said add 3 zeros. That's 540 million.
And it's so sad that that is happening, and that's why I advise on my radio show, I talk about this quite frequently because we do have guests on that are from various health modalities, health professionals, and I tell people to get your medical records. That's your right. That's your constitutional right to get your medical records, except for psychiatric. I don't think you can automatically get those. I believe you have to go through some process to get your psychiatric records, but to get your regular medical records, that is your right, and you will be surprised at what some of these doctors are writing in your medical records. I, for one, know because I got my medical records when I was going through an illness caused by my employer, and when I got my records, I went in pro per to act as my own attorney and got my medical records. And I was appalled at the lies that these doctors who were hired by the County of Los Angeles had written in my medical records, a bunch of lies in which I challenged, and I won my case. And,
wow,
I mean, it's
that far.
Pardon me?
Amazing that you had to go that far. Wow.
Yes, I had to go that far because I did not have the money to hire an attorney to pursue my case because it was more extended and more complex than just a straight workers' compensation case. It had to do with my retirement. The workers' compensation part I won with an attorney because that is a different type of case. But the retirement aspect of my case is totally different. And there are people that have paid out $20,000 and $30,000 and more to attorneys to fight retirement cases that they have when they have been injured. And I didn't have that kind of money, so I pursued it on my own, and I won. And getting all of my medical records, I was appalled at what these doctors had written in my medical records, nothing but out-and-out lies. And, I mean, there were other doctors who challenged them on it because they were a higher level who had the final say. And I was grateful that I got doctors at the higher level who were honest and had integrity. But there are so many, these are medical doctors, there are so many medical doctors out here that have no integrity. They are dishonest, they are unethical, and we need to seek out who we are seeing as medical professionals for ourselves, because these people, many of them, are out to feed themselves and their families. They do not care about you. They'd rather have multiple homes, and they would rather have their yachts and so forth, rather than be ethical and be what they were hired to do, which is to do no harm. And it's so sad that you don't have that.
I want to talk to you about 2 things in terms of ethics, okay? One of them is I believe that everybody's school loans should be forgiven. I don't, you know, but especially the hundreds of thousands of dollars that are owed by the medical professionals, if they will stop vaccinating, we should forgive them their loans, you know, because if that's because literally they cannot make ends meet with that kind of a loan
right.
They continue the program and so that would be something I would definitely want to see happen.
Absolutely.
So that we could alleviate their burden so they can afford to be ethical.
Absolutely.
The second thing, and of course everybody who's listening probably already knows that the incentives to vaccinate from all people, the insurance companies, this is telling you the insurance companies are the pharmaceutical companies. For
insurance companies, absolutely.
To give children just doesn't make sense because all the vaccinated children are the ones that are chronically ill. So why would an insurance company do that? Because they're the pharmaceutical company. That's why.
Absolutely. And that's what people don't seem to understand, because they're saying, well, you know, the insurance companies, they should stand up and blah, blah, blah. How can you stand up when you're one and the same? It's like the Democrats and the Republicans. I call them serpents, just with different heads. That's all, one serpent with different heads. And that's how the insurance companies are in terms of the pharmaceuticals and the drug manufacturers. They're all one and the same, and they're all greedy criminals who do not care about human beings. They only care about themselves. And it's a gentleman that was on my show, Dr. Michael Gaeta, and he is a chiropractic doctor out of Colorado. He has a very, very intensive knowledge of vaccines and other medical modalities. He's been doing this for over 20 some odd years, maybe it's been a long time. And he had gone to some type of convention where there were medical doctors there, and he was saying how in secret they confess to what they're doing, but of course they're not going to say it out. So I said, where's the conscience here? There's no conscience. And I have another doctor who's an MD, Dr. Gary Coles out of Minnesota, that has been on, and he is amazing because he's retired now, but he shares information through a newspaper, a newsletter or newspaper, and it's amazing what he has to say also about these vaccines and what a disservice we're doing to our children. And so we really need to do our research and do our homework and stop depending on the medical profession to protect us, because or our government, because they're not going to protect us unless we do what we're doing, stand up for our rights, our liberties, and our freedom, and start initiating moratoriums on these things that are detrimental to our health.
Right, right. Well, you know, this is, it's repackaged, you know, ban it first, vaccine-free next, moratorium now. This is the one that's caught on. Okay, let's go with this. But it's all about just putting a halt to the biggest lie ever told, you know, and the fact that you are being written to by your senator, me by my congressperson, and by goodness, they actually responded to us, so I guess we should be celebrating that. But to be responded to with a pack of lies, the same old tired lies they've been pushing for a century now. I just saw a famous quote from a fellow from 1896 about vaccines. I mean, this is just as old as the hills. But it is,
oh, yes.
You know, the Journal of Physicians and Surgeons just came out with a statement in their latest journal, the summer 2016 journal, saying, you know, 3 years ago, these multiple vaccines are creating multiple ailments. And where's the media? This is huge news. Why isn't anyone reporting it? And I'm just loving the fact that the you know, Journal of Physicians and Surgeons is saying, why are we not being heard? We did a study. Here's the study you guys are looking from a legitimate source, or, you know, there's a lot of things that call themselves legitimate that aren't. But they're
right.
You know, I love the fact that they are frustrated. Yahoo! Join the pack, you know?
And absolutely.
In terms of the NVICB, I just saw, and I hope I can find this again, but from 60 Minutes, they were interviewing people about the flu shot. Turns out this is what people need to know in terms of money. In the 70s, and mind you, it also in 1970s dollars, because we can't really compare apples to apples, but I will tell you, in 1970s dollars, they paid out $3.5 billion on that flu shot in the 70s, the pharmaceutical.
Wow.
Yes, and since the NVICB, which is a non, where you go to a panel of people who assess your worthiness to get reimbursed for diapers for your kid who no longer is continent or whatever, a wheelchair, or, you know, they just mostly just give you money to pay back into their own pockets in the medical industry. It's not like you can pay your mortgage with it. or, you know, keep from losing your home and your car from all the things that, all the new expenses you now have with your damaged child. But nonetheless, since they lifted the liability, 1986,